Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our look at Daniel's prayer in Daniel chapter 9, verses 8 through 19. We've titled this study simply, The Prayer of Daniel, Conclusion. We learn a lot about the condition of Israel that put her into captivity, and we see what real, authentic humility in prayer looks like as we study this passage of Daniel and his prayer. We also see what happens immediately after this prayer provides believers with one of the most important and amazing prophecies in the Bible, really the key to Bible prophecy in the entire Bible. So if you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, you can send those by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com, or you can send those by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. And now we begin our study of Daniel chapter 9, verses 8 through 19, titled The Prayer of Daniel, Conclusion. This is part 1 of 2.
The Prayer of Daniel. We're going to conclude our study there, beginning of verse 8. Where we left off, the gist of where we left off was, ignorance of the Bible produces ignorant prayers. And we want to remember that as we begin to read here in verses 9 and 10. Read that with me. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against Him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God, to walk in His laws, which He set before us by His servants, the prophets. So Bible believers have direction in prayer, and those who aren't Bible believers go off in rebellion. And he says here, verse 10 there, neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord. Where do you hear the voice of the Lord our God? The Bible. Pick on Jill's favorite teacher for a minute, Beth Moore. Somebody sent me that's not satire this time. Somebody sent me a clip of hers, and then I looked up, and there's a bunch of these now. And when she first started out, she wasn't like this. Now she's out telling everybody that God's talking to her, and then she'll say, well, not audible, but in my spirit. In my spirit. And what she then says contradicts God's word. So Beth ain't hearing God's voice. I don't care if it was in her spirit or if it was audible. Either way, if you tell me the Lord said this and then I look at the Bible and it says that, I ignore you. Amen? Hey, that's exactly what you should do with Greg Miller. If I stand up here and say, you know, any man who shaves is backslidden. Doug just, right there is the right response. He just laughed at me. Amen. Same thing with the preachers who stand up there and say, any man who grows a beard is backslidden. Because there's preachers that preach against facial hair. Amen. What's funny is, as Steve was pointing this out earlier, that if you go look at the founders of the Independent Fundamental Baptist movement, for example, but the founders of the Methodists, the founders of the Nazarenes. Now, the Nazarenes don't do it anymore, but the old-time Nazarenes used to preach against facial hair, and the old-time Methodists used to preach against facial hair. And you go look at the preachers that built their churches, they all had beards. And I was telling them, when I was in school, I mean, at that age, if I wanted to play on the church softball team or the church volleyball team, if my hair touched the collar on my shirt, I had to go get a haircut or they wouldn't let me play. And that's just ridiculous. Again, when you look at the founders, go back and look at pictures of John Wesley. Go look at pictures of Charles Spurgeon. Go look at pictures of any of the old-time preachers, Charles Finney. They either had a beard or hair that came over their ears and down over their collar. So that a bunch of people should have looked at that or heard that back in the early 20th century and just laughed like Doug did at me just a minute ago. But they didn't. They, because it was all, you know, personality cults and all that sort of thing. They just go along with it. I want to look at an example over in 1 Kings. 1 Kings, and what we're going to read is not for you. It's written to you, but not for you today. All these goofballs who say, you know, it's all written to us and for us. You, Greg Miller's a heretic preaching that stuff. And, you know, they all say, well, Noah was saved the same way as anybody else, but none of them built boats. Right. Amen? 1 Kings 18, here's Elijah. Taking me longer to get there than should. Beginning verse 36, it says, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and I have done all these things at what? Thy word. Now I want to tell you, if you do what Elijah does here, you're in trouble. But Elijah was told to do it. Verse 37, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Verse 38, look what happens. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Verse 39, and when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is the God. Verse 40, and Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal. Take those Catholic priests. Let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. Amen. Now, you do that, and you're going to end up probably on death row. You're probably going to end up executed. And you should be. Why? Because God didn't tell you to do that. See how nutty it is when everybody says, the whole Bible, God doesn't change. Well, God doesn't change, but the dispensation did. And God didn't change, but He didn't say Doug. He didn't say Steve. He didn't say Charlie or any of the women. He didn't tell any of you to go round up Catholic priests and kill them. Isn't it crazy? Do you see people claiming that God's telling them to do that stuff? And there's also people who have thought that it was their place to kill abortion doctors. You know, there not very many, not as many as the liberals would like to make you think. But it happened. A young man in a good school, I'm not going to mention no reason to, but he's in a good Bible college. He goes and blows up an abortion clinic. Thankfully, no one was there. No one got hurt. But I don't care. God didn't tell you to do that. And God's not telling you to strap on bombs. Amen. Like the Muslims are being claim that their God's telling them. But how do people get into that stuff? How do people fall for that stuff? How do people mess up their prayer life? It's an ignorance of the Bible. Yeah. And it's really that cut and dry, but man, it just seems like it's hard to get through people's heads. Look back in Daniel 9, verse 11. This is a sweeping statement here by Daniel. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses. You see that? The servant of God, because we have sinned against him. If these Jews didn't read Moses, they wouldn't know what Daniel was even referring to. And a lot of them probably didn't have any idea. And today, a lot of times when you talk to Christians and you tell them that, you know, a certain subject comes up and you quote the Bible, and they'll say, is that in the Bible? Yeah, it is actually. And so you get your little app out and you show them where it's in the Bible. I had a lady accuse me years ago of adding to the Bible when I said the Bible says that a woman should not teach or usurp authority over a man. And they said, well, you're adding that to the Bible. The Bible doesn't actually say that. And I said, well, my Bible says it. And I showed her. Shocked. She couldn't believe it. You know why? It's not that she doesn't read the Bible at all. It's that they only read those little portions they like. They don't go from Genesis to Revelation. And they just pick a verse here and there that sounds, I like that. And it's so hilarious. I've had people, you know, because there's nothing wrong with taking a Bible verse and putting it on the wall, you know, where you work or something like that. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. But when that's the you know, then that's it. That's the completion of your Bible study right there. That's when it's wrong. And I have people come up to they say, oh, I just love that verse you have on your wall. My favorite is, and then they'll quote something that totally has nothing to do with them. And, now I'm going to slip my mind. Where's in Jeremiah, where Jeremiah says that I have plans for you? Look at that up there. Help me out here. I want to see it. While you're looking for it, over in Jeremiah 17:9, that's another one where people have accused me of making that up. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's in the Bible? Yeah. What'd you say, Jenny? 29:11. Look over there if you got your Bible open. Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11. And well, it's a good one to bring up because it's actually dealing with the Babylonian captivity. And in verse 10 it says, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place." That's what Daniel has just discovered. We've been studying Daniel 9. Then look what verse 11 says. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." How many of you heard that verse thrown, slapped up against the wall? Bumper stickers, hats, whatever, t-shirts. That's not to you. Or it's not for you. Say it, put it that way. I always try to be careful in how I phrase that. Everything's written to us. I mean, or I'm getting that totally mixed up. Everything's written for us, but not to us. I said it wrong earlier. Everything's written for you, but it's not that God's saying that directly to you. It's that he said it to the Jews. So how's it for you? How can it be useful to you? Then that is for you to understand that God does have plans. Now, what's his plan for you? He may let you die tomorrow. He's done it many, many times with Christians. He let Paul get his head cut off. He let John the Baptist get his head cut off. If we believe the stories, 11 out of 12 apostles were martyred. Well, maybe that's the expected end. But people take this verse and they say, oh, this is my promise, and I'm claiming this. I know God knows the thoughts he has toward me, thoughts of peace. Man, have you ever read the history of the Waldensians? They didn't have peace. I mean, they had maybe pockets of it, but every few years, the Pope was sending a bunch of murderers down there to rape their women and kill everybody. And finally, the Waldensians got the message, and they started killing them back. First few times Pope went down there, though, he found a bunch of people who just had nothing but farming tools to use to defend themselves. And finally, one of them said, you know, if we can defend ourselves with a farming tool, why can't we use a sword? And that's what the answer was. Amen. And they started getting swords. Well, Jesus said to do that. That's right. Jesus said to buy a sword. So, back in Isaiah, let me get my way back over there. Go in the right direction here. There you go again. We just talked about the Wendensians. What happened? They were ignorant for a while. And it cost them a lot of lives. Then when they finally got to know their Bible a little better, these Jews didn't know what was going on. Daniel had discovered what was going on because he studied the Bible. And then he started praying biblically. The other Jews were clueless from what we know. And they made mention there of the oath that is written in the law of Moses. Well, let's turn over and look at that. I don't want us to be any more ignorant than those Jews in the Babylonian captivity. Deuteronomy 28, the fifth book of the Bible. Pentateuch, five books. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy 28. And here was this is a promise. And everybody says, oh, I live by the promises of God. But they're not all positive promises. Some of the promises are fearful. Deuteronomy 28:15 says, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. How come all the people who want to replace Israel with the church, they don't take these promises? They want the good promises. Yeah, cherry picking. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land. The increase of thy kind, that's the cattle, the cows, and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing. That's just funny because he said it over and over. And vexation and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. Now I got good news for you. That's not to Americans. But I got bad news for you. God is just. And I believe the day's coming. America is going to... There's a payday coming. We've talked about the blood crying out from the ground from all the abortion, and all the wickedness. Verse 21, the Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he have consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, with a fever, and with an inflammation, with an extreme burning, and with the sword, with blasting, with mildew. And they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. That's where they get that when people say that they pray and they feel like the heavens have turned to brass. Verse 24, the Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and shalt be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. And there you go. And that happened. It happened to the people that were alive when Nebuchadnezzar came in and took them all off in the southern kingdom. It happened before that in the northern kingdom when Assyria came down. You don't even want to know what they did to those people when they took the northern tribes. I mean, some of the most gruesome, horrible things they did to those people. You say, why would God allow that? Because he's a man of his word. He just said, turn your back on me and become a wicked reprobate. And all he had to do is this. Let me show you. See, watch this. I got my hand over this Bible here. Anybody throw anything in this Bible, I go, and then all I have to do is this. And I'm not doing anything. I just lifted my hand of protection. And that's what he did then again after they rejected Jesus. Nailed their Messiah to the cross. That's why Jesus looked over Jerusalem and wept. Because he is God. And he knew what was coming. And that's why John and Daniel, when they saw what's about to happen, folks, we could be raptured at any second. And then after that point, at any time, the Pope is going to bring the world together and confirm this covenant that allows Israel to build the temple and to start sacrificing animals in their capital city in Jerusalem, where America has led the way. Thank God for it. And the other countries are going to follow suit into Jerusalem. Jerusalem will become the capital of the world government, and it'll be one big, apostate, sickening, satanic mess. And then all hell's going to break loose. It's promised. It's a promise. And God keeps His word. But as we said, it's also a comfort because He's promised to save you from hell. Isn't it good to know? I mean, some of these promises you're thinking, ooh, how ugly. But then you realize God keeps every single one of them. And He's promised to save you from a lake of fire. And God has never let one of His promises fail. There's still some that He's going to fulfill, but He's never failed one. And exactly as promised, the Lord kept His word. Back to Daniel 9, verse 12. And that's exactly how Daniel prays. See, his prayer is in line with the word of God because he knows the word of God. Verse 12, and he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. Think about that. Because Jesus said what's about to happen is going to be worse. This was as bad as the world had seen up to that point, and it's going to be worse after the rapture. Verse 13, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God. That's amazing. That we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Even if you read it, you can read about it. Read about it in Jeremiah. Just read the book of Jeremiah and you'll see. Even as they could see the Babylonian armies approaching, they still wouldn't repent. What's going to happen during the tribulation? Men will not repent of their sorceries, their idolatries, their blasphemies. It's just an amazing thing. Read verse 14 with me. Therefore hath the Lord... Wait a minute. Are you awake? Verse 14. Read it with me. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all His works which He doeth, for we obeyed not His voice. You just don't know how often I have this conversation with unbelievers. I had twice just in the last week with unbelievers that just simply refuse to accept the idea that God is holy and you and I are sinners. People are being schooled. They're being taught in the public schools, but also in all the entertainment and everything else. You are inherently good. And you're just wonderful the way you are. And the Bible's total disagreement with that. The old Lewis family used to sing, I'm just an old chunk of coal, but I'm gonna be a diamond someday. Imagine Charlie takes the knee. We've got it on video, it happened. Takes the knee. to ask Olivia to be his wife, and pops that box open, and there's a big old rock, and it's coal. That's no, we don't need to get into that. Imagine Olivia's response would have been, shut your mouth and shut that box. I'm not even going to answer that. You're not going to ask for my hand in marriage with coal. Well, that's what everybody's being taught to do, is to look up at God and say, I'm a diamond. And God says, no, you're coal and you burn. Amen. It's true. You want to be a diamond? Alchemists used to try to take coal and other things and turn it into diamond. They tried to take things and turn it into gold. Alchemists can't do that, but the Creator can. Yeah, it's natural processes. Yeah, it's like that story where they say that the fella challenged God and said, "You know, I can make a human being." And oh yeah, and he says, "Yeah." And so God, you know, made Adam and Eve out of the dust of the ground, and God says, "All right, now your turn." And he picks up the dust and he says, "Uh-uh, no, get your own dust." All man can do is take what God's already made, and they can, you know, sometimes do some neat things with it, but they're not creators. Amen. It's an amazing thing to watch. You know, if you're getting what we're studying tonight, and some of you have gotten it in years past, I know that, but isn't it amazing to watch? The whole process is just right before our eyes. Jenny will tell you, we turn on the news, and I don't watch the network news any more than I have to. Most of it's propaganda. So I DVR it. And then that way, if there's a real news story, I'll watch it. And if not, I just skip it. It's amazing. You know, a half-hour news is 2.5 hours a week. I probably spend 20 minutes watching it. Save a lot of time. Commercials, propaganda, you know. And but when we do watch it, and Jenny, she just sits over here a lot of times, says, Lord have mercy, what a wicked, wicked world. And we just sit and watch this stuff and think, the Lord has got to be coming soon. And it's the people that you talk to today, you're some of our loved ones, and they're just like these Jews. They're just like these Jews. And this happened to me 3 or 4 times over a period of about 5 years, and I won't name names. But I saw people just throw the Lord off and go into wickedness. And I talked to them, and I say, do you not realize all the signs that are showing us the Lord's coming soon? And he said that when I return, he asked the question, will there be faith on the earth? The love of many will wax cold. Paul said there'd be a great falling away. There'd be basically a revival of the wickedness of Sodom. And you're deciding you want to be a part of it. Isn't that an amazing thing? And unlike most of these people we're talking about here, a lot of the people we're seeing today, they're not ignorant. A lot of them know the Bible. They've heard the sermons. But there's the point. God keeps his promises. That's a motive for you to learn God's promises so that you understand them properly.